Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Congressman Joe Courtney, how has the sequester hurt your district?
It's hurt it a lot. And, you know, some of the press reports which suggest that, you know, this has been, you know, much ado about nothing, you know, are astonishing to me, because if they went to, I mean, an obvious place in eastern Connecticut is the Navy base in Groton, which has about roughly 1,400 civilian Department of Defense employees who, starting this week, are going to lose a day a week for the next 11 weeks. You know, these are people who are crane operators. Some of them work in the fire department on the base. They're healthcare employees, again, that provide health services for sailors. There's about 8,000 sailors that live on the base. Yeah. Cafeteria workers, clerical workers. I mean, you go right down the line here. So, you know, they're about to take a 20% hit on their paycheck.
Is that right? They're going to lose a fifth of their salary?
Every week. You lose a day a week. So,
wow, of course you're right. Yeah,
yeah, and it's, you know, these are not high-paid individuals. I mean, and a lot of them are, you know, like every other middle-class family, juggling, you know, everything from fuel bills, mortgage payments, student loans, you name it. And I was at a town hall meeting with them last Wednesday, and, you know, it was very tense. I mean, these are folks who you know, didn't think it would come to this. And, you know, there's about 600,000 of similarly situated people all over the country. So, you know, you add that up, it causes a drag on the economy. I mean, all the economists are telling us that. So that's certainly one example. But as I think a lot of your listeners know, sequester is a chainsaw that goes through more than just the Department of Defense. It hits non-defense areas. Head Start, you know, got hit. So in Norwich, Connecticut, there were 6 layoffs of preschool teachers. About 60 slots for Head Start are being canceled for, you know, 3- and 4-year-olds. Education, Title I, which is the funding that goes to needy school districts, across the country, it's about $700 million, but already, you know, I had superintendents from Connecticut in the office the other day, and you know, they're grappling with the Title I cuts as well as the special ed funding, which the federal government already underfunds, given the fact that, you know, Washington mandates special ed services. I'm sure you've heard that complaint from local officials in your days covering New York politics. NIH grants, 700 fully vetted NIH grants are being canceled right now. These are cancer research projects. The University of Connecticut is a research university, as you know, your listeners in Massachusetts and New York State have similar institutions. Again, they're losing funding. National Science Foundation. You know, the list goes on and on. And and you know, the infuriating thing is that, you know, the sequester, which again was never meant to be a policy. Phil Graham, who was the granddaddy of sequester, Graham Rudman Hollings, gave a speech in Washington not too long ago reiterating that point, that the point of sequester was not to have it actually go into effect. It was to force, you know, polarized Congress, which was the case back in the 80s and 90s when Graham Rudman was originally invented, you know, to come together and compromise and act. And the language of the Budget Control Act sequester, the 2011, the modern-day version, is actually verbatim the same as Graham Rudman. And, you know, to watch this thing, you know, sort of go into slow motion starting on March 1st, again, the world didn't come to an end. It wasn't a catastrophic government shutdown, but it's like a slow-acting poison, which is, again, affecting toddlers, it's affecting middle-class people who work for the government, and it's, you know, going to have an impact on services. So I just left a meeting with the director of OMB, you know, the budget office in the White House, Sylvia Matthews, where, again, you know, myself and other members who represent military districts and, you know, programs that are being affected in broader ranges of district, we're talking about the fact that, you know, this, this along with the, you know, looming debt limit and the October 1 deadline to fund the government for next fiscal year. I mean, these things are all sort of starting to really build up to a pretty perfect storm. for our economy. And frankly, there's just a lot of nervousness about whether or not Congress is capable of avoiding, you know, the risk of sort of, you know, capsizing a fragile recovery. And in many respects, you know, I mean, I'm for immigration reform and, you know, climate change measures and you know, these initiatives. But in many respects, I think the average person, you know, that's sort of what they're really nervous about with Washington is, you know, whether, you know, we're going to be able to come together and come up with a sensible solution to avoid all of these toxic threats from really exploding.
I guess I, you know, feel for you because there are so many Democrats who really said, okay, you know, we don't like the sequester because it's taking equally from the defense side and the civilian side, executive side, but you've got to worry about both of them. Here you are, yeah. A Democrat. You've got the Navy in your district, but you also have the pre-K programs in your district. So does that put you in a different spot than most of the Democrats in Congress?
I think that's probably true. I think if you looked at the profile of the average district, having a large military installation in a House seat held by a Democrat is probably not the norm. Bill Owens, my good friend from upstate New York, you know, obviously has Fort Drum, so he's somewhat similarly situated. But by and large, you know, if you go around to military districts, particularly southern parts of the country, you know, they tend to be red districts with Republican members.
Fascinating. That really is interesting. So when the lines are drawn, though, in the great tug of war, where's Joe Courtney? In other words, you know, the Democrats were saying it was never, sequester was never supposed to take money away, you know, from these needy people and all the rest. And the Republicans were saying, no, defense comes first. So what do you do?
Well, I mean, you're looking for you know, that sweet spot of reasonableness, you know, which, you know, I do think that, you know, there's ways we can trim spending in the Pentagon, you know, particularly with the drawdown in Iraq now complete and Afghanistan in full progress, that, you know, there are going to be smart ways to bring down the top line of the Pentagon. I mean, actually, if you look at the base spending of the Pentagon starting in 2011, actually, we hit a tipping point where it's actually already started to come down. The Budget Control Act, which, you know, already included $1.4 trillion in spending cuts, which, again, is, you know, predates sequester, already was having that impact. Secretary Gates and then Secretary Hagel did this full-blown strategic review, and you know, there's definitely going to be a reduction of the size of the Army and the Marines, and there's going to be a trimming of some defense weapon systems, and you know, and frankly, there's smarter ways to spend money and budget money within that huge department, and frankly, you talk to the leadership of the Pentagon, you know, they're prepared to you know, do their part. But a sequester, which again was designed to hurt, is just this indiscriminate mechanism that goes through all accounts. So you end up with this really mindless outcome of having people furloughed who everybody, you know, in most cases agree provide essential functions in terms of, you know, keeping our country militarily ready. And that's what frustrates the leadership of you know, all the branches, which is that, you know, they're prepared to make smart spending reductions. And again, the end strength of the Army is going to be reduced by tens of thousands of individuals. Same with the Marines. I mean, the land war needs right now with Afghanistan coming down, I mean, that's a totally sensible change to have take place. And but you can't do real rational planning when you're, again, having this completely arbitrary mechanism just kind of slashing and butchering through your budgets.
Well, Joe Courtney, we thank you so much. Joe Courtney is Democrat of the Connecticut 2nd District. He's been in office since 2007. Joe, when we come back the next time, I'm going to want to ask you a question about the name of your committee, okay?
Sure.